This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your own home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app. Online, tsn1050.ca. Brian Hazy, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. Big hour, Masai Ujiri, the president of basketball operation with the Raptors, will join us in about 25 minutes. Catch up with Masai. He was doing the rounds today, had a conference call earlier this morning, and I caught up with him earlier today as well. So we'll get into a number of things with Masai in terms of how he's handling the NBA shutdown, the message he sent to his players when they found out they weren't going to be playing anytime soon, and maybe if he's keeping up with all these games that are being played in terms of last year's playoff run.
Maybe so, he mentions how fortunate they kind of went through that loop, didn't they, Brian? Kind of
through Utah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. The last game they played was against Utah, and Rudy Gobert at that point would have been positive for COVID-19.
Yeah, and he played that game 30 minutes, I think.
That's right. Yep. Donovan Mitchell was playing in that game. So there were two guys, and the Raptors somehow escaped it. And like Ottawa, the Senators, they announced today three more players and a staff member tested positive for, so we're talking, you know, 2.5 weeks after they were ever in the same room together, they're still testing positive. And we just had Patrick McEnroe on who also tested positive, and he's an example of the way the system works. Like, it might take you a while to get a test, it's going to take you a while to get the results, and even once you get the test or you get the results, you may feel like you're 100%, but it can still come back as positive. So there's clearly a backlog, too. I mean, I don't think athletes and celebrities are in a different position than the average person in terms of how long it takes to get your result. So that's a part of the issue. That's why we're seeing more and more positives every day, because they're really from like a week ago. And they're trying to catch up.
And that's why the people on TV, the really smart people, the leaders of health and everything else are saying, if you're coming back from all you snowbirds, don't go get gas, don't go get groceries, get your ass home. That's why they're saying that. There's a reason for it.
Exactly. They're expecting a big second wave because like a million people have returned to the country over the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think we're getting to a point where they may just say everyone's locked down. Like, just to, because
I totally agree, Jamie.
You know what? Like, there's people. I don't know if you guys saw the one email. Like, there's people at a, I don't know the name of the park, like Sunnybrook Park or something.
Yeah.
Just ram full. No problem.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like
that, I can't think of a dumber time on earth for this to be happening, with the world of entitlement and nobody can do anything wrong, and I'm gonna do what I want. I can't think of a worse time for this to actually happen to us in this universe, because people are so stupid and so entitled, and they're just basically saying, I'm doing what I want. I don't care. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I can't get a read on the demographics either. You know, are younger people figuring this out? I would think they probably are, but then you look at spring break a couple of weeks ago and all the idiots that were like, I don't care if I get COVID, and younger people feel like they're invincible. But younger people are online. And if you're on Twitter, based on Twitter, and this is why Twitter is generally not a true synopsis of what is happening in the real world, because on Twitter you would think everyone's locked down, everyone's adhering to the rules, everyone's aware of what's happening and all the stats and all the different cautionary tales out there. But in the real world, it seems like a lot of people are still kind of going about their business. And I would assume that's people that aren't on social media, which I would, again, assume from a demographic perspective would be older people.
Yeah. Well, that's the...
But I don't know. That's a generalization. I don't know if that's a fact.
Well, we don't know. But that's the thing. You don't know. Like, I'm sure, and I wouldn't want to out anybody, but I'm sure that everyone in their own personal life has had to have a conversation with somebody being like, hey, smarten up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe one person. I think for the most part, 90%, I think, get it. But it's the 10% that are the idiots, and they're the ones that are, you know, out there. And they may be asymptomatic. And they're the ones, I feel fine, no problem. I'm just going to bomb around out here.
Yeah.
And that's the issue.
Well, that's the concern over in China. I know they were hoping to start up their basketball league again, and they shut it down, not necessarily because of positive tests, but because of people that may be asymptomatic who don't know they've got it and they're out there and playing. And that's when that whole second wave starts up again.
Yeah.
Joining us now, the Maple Toyota Hotline. Here is Ray Ferraro. What's up?
Did you see that?
I had some buddies text me, and they had a couple other selections that should have. They said we should have been including yesterday. A couple were the soccer ones from the soccer announcers.
Yes,
you know, oh, yeah. What a wasted effort.
That would be good. Play-by-play sex tape. Some guy with just a brutal performance. What a wasted effort.
And there's one guy who I don't know his name, but he's really loud, and he's got the great Scottish accent, and he'll say things like "foolhardy." I'm like, man, that would work in our little conversation yesterday.
Yeah.
What a foolhardy move that was.
Well, what's how about the Marv Albert? Yes, like it's almost a yes guy, basically. But I think Marv
nothing,
could be included.
Nothing will top CC if some guy pulled his drawers down and he just said, "Did you see that?"
Yeah, that's probably
there's
at the top
a new
of the
career
list.
When CC's ever ready to retire. There's career for him.
Oh,
voice
yeah.
actor.
Oh, yeah. There is a lot of potential work. It could be very lucrative. Very lucrative.
I don't know. I mean, you know what? We needed that laugh. And, you know, it's funny. I don't know how many people I had message me yesterday, like, kind of in the same light, being like, you know what? Like, that was hilarious. And it was kind of unexpected. But I don't know, Hayes. I don't know how you got it back on the rails. Like, I listened to that segment because I went back and... Obviously, I was dying laughing, but I don't know how we ended up talking about hockey at all.
We transitioned from pornos to arbitration.
Yeah, but like it wasn't even pornos. It was Joe Bowen. Like you were like, did you see that? Holy mackerel. I was like, oh, my God, how are we going to get out of this?
Yeah,
like
it was tough. It was actually maybe my finest hour.
I really think it was some of your greatest work because it was so off the rails. That I thought, you know what, we're done here. Like we're done. Ray, there's nothing we're going to get out of Ray here because we just can't pivot out of this.
No, but the thing I thought of as this was going on was that as we were laughing away there, I'm like, there is nothing Hayes can ask me now that I care about.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing that I can even think of right now. If you would have said who's leading the NHL in points, I wouldn't have come up with the answer. No idea. That was good work yesterday. Maybe next to the Hayes' 30-year-old buddy getting the circumcision, that was probably some of our best work.
That was high on the list of our best work. I agree with you on that. And maybe that wasn't my finest hour because I should have known better and just said, forget it. Like, we got to go to break and we're out. Like, how do we transition into a hypothetical arbitration case about players that at this point nobody cares about? They don't care about them anyway. But after laughing about Joe Buck pleading with people to stop sending sex tapes for him to do play-by-play of, and a 9-minute conversation. 9 minutes we spent on that. And it wasn't enough. I think we had an extra 3 or 4 that we left on the table.
No, actually, though, leaving it when we did was probably good for all of our careers.
Very, exactly. Very valid. Very valid.
Exactly.
We had Matt Stajan on Leafs Lunch earlier today, and we asked Stajan, based on the Michael Jordan documentary news that came out earlier in the week, that they're going to move that up on ESPN, and it's a 10-hour, 10-part documentary about Jordan and the Bulls. We asked Stajan about which team would offer up the best documentary, and he said, actually, the 06 Leaf team. You were on that team, O. With the Muskoka 5, Ferguson, you know, all that garbage, and everyone, you know, are you going to trade Matt? Should he demand a deal? Coaches getting fired, all that kind of stuff. Do you have one team in mind, Ray, where, like, if ESPN or TSN came to you and said, we're going to put together a 2-hour documentary on one team, one season? If so, which team would you pick?
I think it would have to be the worst team, you know, which was Atlanta. And the reason I say that is, like, the stuff that went on, I don't think people would believe that it happened in the NHL. Like, it was just so bad. Like, there was our general manager asking the trainer, like in one of the first days, hey, what's the budget for Q-tips for the year? I'm wondering why we're using the long Q-tips and not the two-sided Q-tips you buy in the store. Like, man, our defense can't pass the puck 6 feet. We're worried about the Q-tip budget in training camp. Like, it was a gong show from the very, very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Kurt Fraser's first speech, we're in Orlando. He's the head coach. And, you know, he welcomes us 80 nitwits into training camp. And he's like, you know, welcome to the first, something along the lines of, welcome to the first training camp of the Atlanta Thrashers. There will be no golf. That was the next thing he said.
Nice. Just set the tone early.
Like, what do you mean? Like, there will be no golf, like no golfing at training camp or what?
At training
like-
camp. We were in Orlando. And that was the second welcome, and there will be no golf.
Everybody hates him right away.
Right, like, who cares? Your day's over. Go play golf. What the hell's the difference?
Right.
Yeah, I would have done it anyway.
We could have done anything, and it wouldn't have hurt that team.
Yeah. You should have played 36 during the game, like, before the game.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't – you know what, though? That's the type of stuff that you're right. Like, Ray, you know – when I played with you at the Island, I mean, it was still legendary. Al Arbor, Mr. Torrey, like there was, you know, there was a lot of class going around. And you know, when Milbury took over, it took a sidestep. And as Butch Gore, what did Butch say, Hayes? What did Butch say about the organization?
He set them back light years. Light years.
Yeah, not even years. Yeah. Light years.
Light years.
Who set them back?
Who set them back?
Milbury.
Oh,
well,
God, yeah.
We had Butch Goring on Leafs Lunch. I think it was just me and Hayes on the show. And we had Butch Goring on. And Butchie was like, yeah, Milbury, he put that organization back light years. And Hayes and I both had to turn our mic off because, like, it was such a jarring comment.
Well, he did do some weird things. Like, he would be the one GM where he would just make a trade to make a trade. It was...
Dude, he traded Luongo because he wanted to use the first pick on Rick DiPietro. He had Luongo. Yeah. He had him.
Yeah, to get the goalie of the future, but they already had the goalie of the future.
Right.
A Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Yeah, like they didn't need to happen, right?
There was another goofy one, like a Kvasha deal for
that was it, from Florida. Kvasha and... which, by the way, is one of my favorite names, Kvasha.
Wasn't it Olli Jokinen? Wasn't Olli Jokinen in that deal?
Jokinen went to Florida.
Yeah.
Dude.
Or Kvasha. Oh, it was another big stiff.
Parrish
Kozlov.
Or somebody.
Kozlov.
Yeah, it's just like, why did you need to trade Olli Jokinen?
Well, didn't he trade...
It's worse than that.
Wade Redden for Brian Berard?
The King Daddy. Topper, to steal a phrase from you. There's a couple of them. One, he had Todd Bertuzzi, and he got rid of Todd.
Yeah, for Scott Lachance.
But he traded Zdeno Chara, and I believe the pick that turned out to be Jason Spezza for Yashin.
Correct.
Yeah. Spezza and Chara for Yashin.
Wow.
Like, Yashin was a really good player, but, like, Chara is an all-time great, and Spezza, I think, at his prime was better than Yashin at his prime, or real close. They were the same player, effectively.
Right.
Like,
well, I was gone by then. Mike's first year, I had signed that summer with the Rangers. But just prior to that, Don Maloney was the general manager, and he traded Pierre Turgeon and Vladimir Malikov for Kirk Muller and Matthew Schneider.
Yeah.
And both of them
asked for
didn't
trades.
Want to be in Long Island. Like, they were... like, we got smoked on the deal.
Yeah. I remember Kirk Muller let it known that he didn't want to be there. It wasn't his fault. But
no,
he was like, yeah,
like, I don't want to come there.
I'm not coming there. I'm not. And then, like, he had to play until they traded him. Like, and it was just because I was on that team after that. Like, it was, it went sideways pretty quick. And, you know, you think about that Islander organization, like, Chara's still playing. Luongo just retired. Like, how
by
about
doing
adding
nothing?
Those two
they would
the
have probably been a lot further along.
They had Rafi Torres that they got rid of, and I know Rafi's a polarizing guy, but man, he was effective and a good player. And like Bertuzzi, Torres, Chara,
right, McCabe.
McCabe, Spezza, yeah. Luongo.
Redden. It just goes on and on.
Yeah. And it's like, and he really did. Like, Goring might have been nice. He did set him back light years. Like, well, that, what a debacle.
But that's, I was kind of bringing it back to, like, Ray's conversation of some of the things that I guess all of us have witnessed over our careers. Like, I don't think people would kind of believe some of the behind-the-scenes nonsense. I guess you'd call it that.
Well, but, and it happens less on a good team.
Yeah, you're right.
Right? Like the bad teams, it just seems to, the bucket of crap is just bigger than every other team's bucket of crap, and everybody keeps stepping in it. And like, right. it just never straightens itself out. I just don't get it though, Ray.
Like, it's like, that's why you assemble a team. Like, if I had a special assistant, if I was the GM or a president, I would hire somebody who I trusted immensely, and I would say, if I'm doing something stupid, you need to pull me aside and say, do not do this. How was there no one that pulled Mike Milbury aside and said, we cannot do this? No. No way.
Well, actually, I guess part of that is when you, and it's not just in Mike's case, but like when people have too much power, there is nobody to check them.
No. They just run everybody over.
Yeah, you just kind of... I'm the coach, I'm the GM, I'm the president. Like when I see general manager and president and director of player or hockey operations in one title, I'm like, oh, that's not good. That's too much for one guy. There needs to be somebody there to, you know, to give him a rap on the coconut and say, you're not thinking this one through.
Well, who that role might have to be the owner too.
Oh, but that's the worst guy.
It is, Ray. But the owner's, he plays an important role, man. Like what I'm saying is the owner usually is the reason that guy's got 45 titles because he's incompetent. He doesn't realize the incompetence.
My point was the owner's going to be the last guy to say no. Let's be a little more patient.
Mm-hmm.
They're you know, more often than not when you hear a long ago story, you're like, yeah, well, the owner wanted him to get this player. And in the meantime, it cost him his arm, a leg, and the other ankle as well, and they fall over. Like, mm-hmm. The president, one of his most important jobs is to keep the owner away from the general manager. Don't let the owner influence what the general manager is doing. Because in most cases, 99% of the time, they just wouldn't know.
Yeah, I mean, think of it, like Paul Holmgren had some moves there where you're like, you know, they didn't have a goalie, so they go and give $50 million to Brizgalov. Like, that was the owner going, go get me a goalie. I don't care what it costs to, you know, to get him.
Right. In Philly. Yeah.
In Philly. And then Brizgalov lasts, what, 2 years there? And they pay him $24 million to go away. Like, Holmgren
That's when he came up, Noodles, with, like, he felt like a bear in the woods. Or something like that.
Yeah, they're like, this guy has lost his mind.
HBO. HBO was to blame for that. They loved him. He was the star of that HBO.
It's all right to have that personality if you stop pucks, but he wasn't. Like, he was not stopping pucks.
No, he was terrible.
Like him and remember Ray, you talk about that. Him and Fleury, and when Marc-Andre Fleury was having a tough stretch there in the playoffs, I think it was a couple years back to back.
Yeah, they were having playoff series against each other, and the games were 8-6.
Yeah, 10-8.
I did one. I'm certain those two were the goalies, and the game was 10-8. I'm almost certain those were the two goalies.
Yeah, I remember.
Because I know Fleury was, and he couldn't stop anything. And I'm certain Brizgalov was at the other end, and he didn't stop anything either. He just had less shots.
I remember it was early on when I just started with TSN. Fleury had a couple back-to-back meltdowns. One where they were playing against Columbus. He went behind the net to play the puck, and it like hit him and went in front, like with a minute left in the game.
Yeah.
Like he put one against the Islanders. I think he put one in his own net. Off the boards?
I remember that. No, it was.
It hit the end boards, right? And he turned around and punted it in.
Yeah, like I remember thinking, like, this guy is such a dominant regular season goaltender, and now he's in his own head. And think about it, like, you know, we had that poll yesterday. Fleury was on that poll. Like, that's how he's a great goaltender. Like, I think he's a fantastic goaltender. But, like, we forget, like, Pittsburgh had, he kind of had his head on straight. There may have been more, you know, deeper runs in the playoffs for that team. Like that Penguins team.
Yeah. They were still loaded.
They were loaded.
They were the team. They couldn't get a stop.
Yeah.
You know, in a lot
Crazy.
Of ways. And when they won their cups, Fleury wasn't even in net. And now, if you're going into a game tonight, who would you take? Fleury, Murray, or Jarry? Like, Jarry had a great run this year. Who's your starter tonight of those three?
Well, for me, it's Fleury still.
Fleury.
Yeah.
Fleury
like,
still.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, even though Murray won back-to-back and that, but, like, you see, they haven't won since Fleury left. You know what I mean? He's a
right.
guy that I think he was a glue guy there for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think you're right about that. But anyway, yeah, we'll see where we're at tomorrow, buddy. It's always fun at 5:05 to see where we're going to take the conversation.
Well, I'm sure somebody will come up with a few more additions to this thing.
We need more like international flavor. You're right. So
yeah, we should welcome more suggestions.
Yes. Yeah.
Send them to Hayes.
Yeah, send them exclusively to me, to my work email. That'll go over well with HR.
We need the audio, though, the audio of great calls or great goals or great anything.
Well, how about your boy Rosen with, I can't believe I just saw that, the Mike Medano where he falls off the stretcher. That would be a pretty good one.
Wow. Did that just happen?
I can't believe I just saw that.
Yeah,
just an exceptional move in the sack, and he is astonished.
Or the guy in San Fran. Oh, look at him now. He's drunk.
Oh, yeah, that's Harlan, Kevin Harlan.
Kevin Harlan. That's the guy that should be doing it.
Yes.
Yeah,
When he called that drunk guy running up and down the field, that was unbelievable.
Yeah,
that's what we'll do tomorrow, Ray. We'll really put our heads together and come up with sports porno clips for our segment at 5 o'clock.
Yeah. All right, buddy, lock it in the calendar.
It's in. Wouldn't miss it.
All right, we'll chat then. There he is, Ray Ferraro, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline, reminding everyone that we all bleed the Maple Leaf. It's the strength and compassion we share as a community that has and will get us through anything, MapleToyota.com. Masai Ujiri will join us on his message to his players on how he's staying safe and healthy, and if he watched the shot again last night or two nights ago when Kawhi Leonard did what he did last year against Philly in Game 7. That and more with Masai Ujiri next. All right, calling an audible at the line. Jerry's percentages will be moved to 6 o'clock. So Jerry's coming up in about a half an hour. He's always accommodating. I'm sure he will show no attitude by being bumped, but we don't care. I mean, there's only a certain amount of people that we can get on the show where we'd say, you know what, we're bumping Jerry. And one of them happens to be Masai Ujiri, the president of basketball operations with the Raptors. And we haven't caught up with Masai in a long time. And obviously, he's on for a very serious purpose. He was speaking with some of the media earlier today. He was nice enough to find some time for us. And we began by asking Masai, considering what's going on right now, how are you holding up?
Oh, well, plugging away, man, plugging away. It's been a really challenging time and unprecedented times. But, We forge ahead and keep in high spirits and do what we can do from home as much as we can and spend time with family and abide by the rules as we go, you know, which is really important that we pay attention and stay abreast with what is going on and listening to the public health experts here.
When I think of Masai Ujiri, I think of optimism. I think of a guy who's hopeful, a guy who's inspiring. How challenging has it been to hold on to those traits considering what's going on right now?
You are right. You know, like, it's exactly that. I say it, being humble. I'm always optimistic, you know, like, almost always hopeful this will pass, you know, like, it's been challenging because it's new, you know, and it's unknown. And it helps, you know, like, this is something that could affect anybody, anywhere. It's around the world. We have to really pay attention, you know, like, to really what the experts are saying. with all of this. It's so important, but it's also important that we're spending time with our families, you know, and taking this time to really reflect on life, slow down a little bit, you know, but work forges ahead. We keep going, you know, these are 6-7 hour days on the phone. Everything is done on the phone now, as we play by these rules. And that's challenging because, we're doing the video calls, we're doing the web calls, but it's not really like interacting in real life. And as a leader, I have to make the best of that. And you have to bring people along. We just have to continue to bring people along.
Well, considering the uncertainty of the sports calendar at this point, we don't know if and when we're going to be picking up the season again, if and when we start the playoffs. With that in mind, what was the message you sent your players off with a couple of weeks ago? What were you trying to hammer home in terms of what is important, specifically with basketball? I mean, real-life stuff we know, safety and health. But in terms of preparing for an uncertain basketball schedule, what message do you have for the players?
I think, you know, generally, you know, like, honestly, we're lucky. We're lucky to have the players, the staff, and the people that I work with, from coaches to scouts, to analytics, to PR, to medical, to the players. These guys are really strong. They are really strong at what they do. They are really good at what they do. And they are resilient and they are winners. But this time is a time to really think about health. You know, like, it's a time to think about how we are abiding by the rules, you know, like, and I hate to keep going back to that, you know, like, but we have to continue to do that. We have to continue to really pay attention, you know, like, to all of this. And that's going to be the only way that we beat this. So, we're doing all the innovative things. We're doing all the things that we hope can make us better when we come out of this. But first things first, I think, is, we want them to, they are exercising, they are trying to stay fit, they are trying to stay as focused as they can be, they are spending time with family, but we have to really, really pay attention to what the rules are out there, to listening to the experts, social distancing, staying clean, cleaning our hands, staying healthy at this time, staying isolated. It's really important for us.
With Masai Ujiri, I'm sure you're aware that TSN and Sportsnet have been replaying last year's playoff run. Every night there's another game, and last night was Game 7 against Philly. And I think a lot of people were looking forward to watching that game, and specifically the end of the game. I think the most famous shot in Raptors history. How many times have you gone back to watch the Kawhi Leonard Game 7 shot against Philly?
You know, I catch it in different places, you know, like when it's shown. Me personally, going back, you know, like to where it's to look at it, you know, I haven't done that, but I catch it, you know, like in different times, where whether you're in a place or yesterday when it's shown, or you see it on a clip on the when you are on the internet or online. So we've seen it. I've seen it, you know, quite a few times in that note. But I think my time for watching those games and really reflecting to those games will come. Yeah, it'll come. I think later in future. For me, right now is really paying attention to our team, paying attention to the world, paying attention to my organization, my family, you know, and really, really trying to beat this thing. You know, like, so those are joyful moments, honestly, you know, like when you see them, you reflect. But me personally, I haven't gone back, you know, like to watch them like that.
We've discussed on this show countless times whether or not that would be statue worthy outside of Scotiabank Arena and the celebration of the Raptors' history. Do you think that shot, that moment in time, could be a statue outside of Scotiabank at some point?
Yeah, I'm hoping that in the future that we're going to have even more and more special moments. For Kawhi, I hope, you know, like that his legacy, you know, like will be that, you know, like forever, you know, like here. And something like that can come out of this. You know, but I hope that I hope that there are many more of these kind of moments in future that we will have. You know, by the grace of God, we continue to build and win, and even in these times, you think about that. You know, but we still come back to, you know, like what we have to do now to get back to that, and that stay healthy, stay positive, stay isolated, stay social distance away from each other, and keep growing.
With Masai Ujiri, the president of basketball operations, your life would have changed drastically once you guys won a title. I think you established yourself as a sports icon in this city. We haven't caught up since the title, since the parade. How comfortable are you with that title, a sports icon in Toronto?
Not comfortable, really, because, you know, like, every day I see my job, you know, like, I still see that there's so much work to be done, you know, like there's so much to be. I was incredibly like excited about the team this year, you know, like, and where the team was going, how we were growing, and but now we live on the challenge of getting that back and continuing, you know, and this is me personally and even our players and staff, and motivating and growing and becoming bigger and winning more. You know, so honestly, in times like this, you know, like, and even before, you know, like, I never see it that way. And yeah, you just want to be the best and you want to win. Right now, I want to win against this virus, you know, like, we all want to beat it so bad, you know, right now the icons, you know, like that, fighting these viruses are the icons of the world, you know, like, and what really matters the most.
Yeah, no, that's incredibly well put. With Masai Ujiri, I was watching, it was an eerie experience. I was watching the pregame of Utah, Oklahoma City, and you know, the Thunder, they were out on the court warming up. The Jazz, it was kind of an eerie scenario. We didn't know what was going on, and I was watching the pregame on ESPN, and they weren't certain what was going on, why there was a delay. And then we found out that Rudy Gobert had tested positive for COVID-19, and that was the last team you guys had played at Utah on the 9th of March. When you heard the news that Rudy tested positive, and when you consider your team had just been on the road and just in Utah, what was your initial reaction, and who did you call first? Did you call the commissioner? Did you call someone in Utah? I mean, how did you handle what was a real, truly a whirlwind situation over about 24 hours in the NBA?
First of all, you know, like, I think what an unbelievable job. I think the commissioner, Adam Silver, and his team, the NBA leadership, you know, like, had his role, like he played in this, in making that decision to postpone the league. I think that hit home. That hit home for not just the sports industry, but it hit home for everybody, you know, in all kinds of works of life, you know. And when these kind of things happen, you know, like, I'm like every other human being, you know, like, that's normal. Even in a position of leadership, you think about your team, you think about people that are close to you, the fears, all those things, and how you have to manage all of those things. So I had a couple calls. Always those first calls are obviously Bobby and Teresa and Dan, you know, like the my leadership team with Nick, you know, like you huddle up and I think obviously my family, that's another call you make, and the last couple calls with the commissioner, obviously I'm close to Adam, so I'll speak to him, and then Larry Tannenbaum, my the owner, we're in constant communication, and then I think maybe in the top of that group, you know, like in between, there are so many phone calls going back and forth, and I don't know what the sequence were, but our doctors have been heroes in this thing, you know, like they've been so strong with helping us, directing us, you know, like in everything that decisions, we listening to them, them listening to public health experts, you know, like, and really unprecedented times, you know, like in the NBA, but this will make us stronger, will bring us together in many ways, you know, and those moments where we're testing, challenging, but as leaders, you know, this is why we're here, and we have to figure out ways, you know, like to bring people together and make some of those decisions. And the decision then was, how do we get our team together and make the decision of testing and making sure everybody's safe.
Masai, I'll get you out of here on this. So obviously, sports are on the back burner right now, and we don't know when we're going to return to play. But have you allowed yourself to kind of dream of that day? And if so, what do you think that feeling is going to be like the first time you walk through the tunnel, you walk into Scotiabank, and your team is playing again?
Man, I miss it, man. You know, like we all miss it, you know, and this is the time to rally, you know, like I said, with all humbleness, you know, we brought the world together a few months ago, you know, like winning the title, you know, like, and now we have to bring everybody together by staying apart. We have to do the right things. We have to really stay healthy, practice social distancing, you know, wash our hands, do all the right things, you know, like that are going to get us back to living, you know, like going back to our normal lives and doing the things like we really, really like love to do, we miss to do. I think maybe from up there, God was telling us, you know, like it's time to slow down a little bit. The world was moving so fast, and now we can hopefully reflect and keep plugging away, keep staying together, and try to try to get back, you know, like with good health, you know, protecting each other with great health. I miss it, man. I'll be honest with you. Yep. You know, like it's been tough. It's also been a great time to spend with my family, my kids. You know, my wife. You know, like it's been good. You know, like because we were moving really fast, but I miss the game of basketball and what we do.
Yeah, I think you speak for everyone at this point. Continued health and safety, Masai. We really appreciate the insight and the time. Thank you for doing this today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
There he is, Masai Ujiri, president of basketball operations with the Raptors. And, again, always an optimistic, hopeful, inspiring guy. And I'm sure that's being challenged in a time like this. But we'll get through it, as he said. And as long as we all take the proper precautions, we'll get there sooner rather than later. Coming up in the final hour, Jerry's percentages in about 15 minutes. We bumped Jerry from Masai. That goes without saying. He will join us at 6. Bob McKenzie later in the 6 p.m. hour, and 4 battles ongoing online in the Overdrive Madness audio bracket. We will hit the Constipator bracket next.
I'm having a good time. Not.
Glory, glory, yeah!
The Overdrive Madness bracket.
This guy's such an idiot here.
All right, the bracket brought to you by Maple Toyota. Maple is in the name, and everything our Maple Leaf stands for is why we will get through this together. Take care of yourself and each other, MapleToyota.com. So we begin four battles currently online, battling it out, at Overdrive1050 on Twitter, at TSN1050 on Instagram. That's where you can vote, you can hear the clips, and you can vote yourself. But as we've been doing for the past week or so, week and a half, we play the battles on the show. And we have two brackets, Al's Brothers Farmers bracket and the Constipator bracket or region. And we're going to begin with the Constipator region. All right. So we've got two doozies here. Like Garth Algar is featured in both. Who he's a character, I would say, that comes up maybe more than any other movie character.
Quite a bit.
Close to it.
Quite a bit.
Yeah, we enjoy Garth. We enjoy Garth and his work. So we've got two Garth Algar clips from the same movie, from the same scene, actually, and then two other clips that are in the Hall of Fame. All right, so are you guys ready for this?
Yep.
Go ahead.
Let's hear the first one.
Canada in the quarterfinals, what sort of game are you expecting there?
Like a Canada team who dominates us again, and we try to hold against.
What did you learn about them in the pre-tournament game you played?
Learn that we are far away from them still. They're faster, they're bigger, they're stronger, they can shoot better, they can pass better, they can do everything better.
Just such an inspiration for the boys. Not exactly the win one for the Gipper speech, but there you go. That's the Swiss coach on how Canada is going to lay a dummy, lay a beating on them at the World Juniors a couple of years ago. So that clip is going up against this clip, courtesy of Garth Algar from Wayne's World.
Don't you just love music?
Do you have any Megadeth?
Very romantic. Honey Hornet trying to get in the mood, set the tone.
Honey Hornet.
And Garth would prefer to listen to the sultry tones of Megadeth. So that is one battle. And the other battle, again, features a similar, like the same scene in Wayne's World 2, which I think is an all-time scene when Garth Algar is about to get the wheels in motion with Honey Hornet, a.k.a. Kim Basinger, who's a generational talent, just for the record. Kim Basinger, back in Wayne's World 2, in Batman. I watched Batman over the weekend, which I've seen many times, but Basinger's performance in Batman in 1989.
Poof.
Yeah, that's McDavid. That's McDavid.
Exactly. All
right, so we'll get to the second Garth clip, but first we got to hear the clip it's going to go up against.
7-7 in the ninth. Roark got knocked out in the third inning.
Roark's been getting his tits lit.
Yeah, he really has.
Just so professional.
Oh,
I love it. Keith Hernandez. And the other guy's the best. Yeah, he really has. Like, as if that's just a common theme and a common phrase that they use. Like, when they're on the road with the boys, like, let's go for a pint and talk about whose tits have been getting lit throughout the league.
Classic.
Yeah. It's a veteran comment.
It really is. So that is going up against this.
Take me, Garth.
Where? I'm low on gas and you need a jacket.
I'm going to be Frank.
Okay. Can I still be Garth?
So
smooth, Garth.
Yeah. Garth is the best part about that scene is Garth gets picked up by Kim Basinger and taken to bed. And anyway. All right, so there you go. Those are your two battles, courtesy of the Constipator region. The Swiss coach on Megadeth, Keith Hernandez on Garth versus Honey Hornet. We've got two more battles in the Al's Brothers Farmer region that we'll play in the next hour. Jerry's Percentages, Bob McKenzie also coming up. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.
This hour has been brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.